Good evening. Thank you for joining me here tonight. This is Universal Energy Radio here on Blog Talk Radio, and this is Self-Mastery Through the Law of Attraction. I am your host of this weekly podcast. My name is Mary Jo Bull, and I'm here Wednesday nights at 8 o'clock Eastern Time to talk about all things related to self-mastery. And what that looks like, how we do it, how we don't do it, how we can do it, what to look for. I want to say thank you to all those who are joining me via the internet, listening in via the internet tonight. You can also call me directly in the studio, especially if you have a question. Or a situation you might want to ask about or talk through. That number is 718-664-9124. And you hit the number 1 on your phone and I'll get an indication that that you have a question. And so again, thanks for joining me here this evening and those who will hear this podcast into the future. These weekly podcasts are archived. And usually they are archived and ready to be listened to over and over again, pretty much within 4 to 8 hours of recording the podcast. So if you do have a question and you do want to talk through it with me or you want to ask me about it and you come on the air, you'll have your very own reading archived and available to you whenever you want to access it. So let's just jump right in. Today is Wednesday, April 15th, and we are going into anywhere between 4 to 6 weeks of the of quarantine for as a result of the coronavirus. This virus that has been literally sweeping the globe in 2020. And many of us, I dare say almost all of us, are home, in our homes. Businesses are shuttered. Most folks who can telework are, including our educators. And many businesses. I recently read an article about what folks are experiencing as a result of, and as this pandemic continues. And the person who wrote the article compared the experience to finding out that you or a loved one are dying. There was a female doctor, I want to say back in the 50s and 60s. I apologize, I don't know exactly when she came to the forefront, but her name was Dr. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, and she wrote a seminal work about stages of grief. And I remember reading it years ago, and to have it brought to mind again recently was actually very helpful because I, in my own experience, these last, I would say, since March 13th is when I really sort of, it became real, if you will, for me. I've been kind of looking at this almost through that lens of grief. The first couple of weeks were novel. On the one hand, really nice to be able to work from home, to not have to get out of bed at 5 a.m. and get ready for the day and then have an hour and a half commute and then have an hour and a half commute back and eat dinner and then go to bed and start all over again the next day. It was a nice respite. It was a nice respite from that. And I initially got a surge of energy about, you know, all these things that I could do now, that I had time and inner space, if you will, to do. And I'm sitting in my chair, looking at a pile of books that I was so excited to be able to read, some of them again, some of them for the first time. And just that sense of having time to do something like this. And that wore off pretty quickly. Probably within the first 10 days, I was experiencing a lot of grief, just very emotional, very sad. In my own personal situation, my daughter was diagnosed with COVID, and she came through it. She's doing much better. Many of you have heard me talk about that over the last few podcasts and have reached out and wished her well, and we that very much. She's recovering quite nicely. 27 years old, good health. So things didn't get bad like what we're hearing about for others who have underlying medical conditions, or maybe of a certain age, or, you know, what have you. But again, it came very close to home for me, because I've been a single mom my whole life, and my daughter and I are very close. And of course, she means the world to me. And we don't live close by each other. So it was a real journey walking through this with her when she is a day's drive away. I had thought about driving down to be with her, and I just got an inner prompting that that would not be a good idea. When I voiced it to her, she agreed with that inner prompting. And I've comforted myself through the thought and the belief that just as I am connected to my source, and I have information and guidance available to me through my source, then the same is available to her, to all of us, to each and every one of us. And so these last, the first couple of weeks were rough, high highs and low lows, and then things kind of evened out. But still, I wanted to get back to this. I don't want to call it normal, but I've been wanting to get back to this sense of all is well. And I've been very intentional about, I want to feel good. And I want to feel calm. And I do feel calm most of the time. What I'm observing is something has shifted so dramatically that there's a new path now, and the old path anymore. And that's neither bad nor good. It is what it is. But I think many of us are coming to grips with this. And this is what I titled this podcast, Meeting the Shadow. I did my own version of shadow work many years ago. There was a wonderful woman named Debbie Ford, who has since passed away, but she wrote a wonderful book about doing shadow work. And shadow work is, frankly, it's not a course that you take and a workshop and you're done and that's it, moving on. So let's talk a little bit about exactly what is the shadow, because it's good to know, to understand the language that's being used so that you can interpret what's being said through your own lens and your own understanding. So, of course, a shadow is cast by an object or a person that is blocking the light. So when we're walking down the street, on a sunny day, and the sunshine is off to one side. When you look to the other side, you see your shadow. And when you're a little child and you're coming to understand the world or trying to interpret the world, oftentimes something that children really are curious about is their shadow. They, you know, when they start to understand them, when they move, it moves. And when they put their hand up, it, you know, they see their hand go up. Over time, we come to believe that the shadow is real. And it's not. The shadow is not real. The shadow is simply an indication of something blocking the light. The Bible has 52 instances or mentions of the word shadow throughout Scripture. One of my favorite scriptures that I use a lot in times like this is, of course, the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. So, at its extreme, this physical world that we are experiencing through our five physical senses is the valley of the shadow of death. Because this world is finite. It has limits. It has been around for a long time. But like anything in the physical world, it's not going to last forever. Who knows how long it's going to last. But this world is a mere shadow of the real world that we come from. And when we get here, when we arrive here in the physical world, the material world, I should say, the material world. When we arrive in the material world, over time, we forget where we come from, and we begin to believe, and we're indoctrinated and programmed and conditioned into believing that all of this is real. And that's a necessary part of life. In order to be able to have a life experience, which is the whole point of the soul coming here to this place, to Earth, there's reason and purpose for it, and there are lessons and tasks and experiences that the soul comes for in order to expand and grow and evolve. So it's all part of the experience. It's the forgetting. You know, we forget where we come from. It's kind of like we put a play and people assume the roles of different characters. They forget temporarily who they are, and they take on the role of this character. So it's very similar to that. And we, the longer we're here, the more seated we are into this material reality, and we forget the truth of who we are and where we come from. And we spend, you know, there are some who say we spend the first half of our life forgetting, and we spend the second half of our life remembering. And the situation that the globe is facing right now, this global pandemic, is an absolutely extraordinary, remarkable opportunity for us to remember the truth of who we are. because maybe you've noticed in your own experience that the things that the distractions that you used before everything turned upside down to distract you from any number of things, distractions are meant to point us away from the truth of who we are. And as very well illustrated now, distractions are clearly there to show us, to indicate to us that there's something in our consciousness that we're not addressing. And in the normal, every day-to-day, you know, flow of life, again, before things turned upside down, there were just a lot of distractions that each and every one of us used to get through our daily life. As I'm observing my own situation, I know that I have used food in the past as a distraction. Others use alcohol or drugs or shopping or pornography or sex or television or social media, any number of things that can be used to distract us. And so for me, a regular work week, I would get home in the evening and, you know, I'm tired, physically tired, mentally tired. And I just want to zone out. I don't want to deal with what is that fatigue all about? Why do I feel mentally and spiritually and physically drained at the end of the day? Why don't I come home feeling energized and excited and looking forward to the next day? And that's not to say I don't have days where I, you know, I'm looking forward to, you know, the next day, but somewhere along the line, I'm not allowing the truth of who I am. Because when I'm allowing the truth of who I am, when I'm allowing that sense of well-being, when I am allowing and in an alignment with my source, which is God dwelling in me as me, I feel calm and I feel peaceful and hopeful and optimistic. And so if I'm experiencing something in my day or days where those emotions are not present, then somehow I'm not allowing them. And there's a reason why I'm not allowing them. I'm pushing them off to the side. What is the reason? It could be any number of things. It could be I'm really not happy in this job, for example, and I don't want to deal with it right now because I have children to take care of. I have a, you know, we have a mortgage and we both have to work. And, you know, but this isn't what I really want to do. What I really want to do is, you know, knit caps and sweaters and Afghans and sell my beautiful wares on Etsy or Amazon or what have you. But I can't do those things because I've got these other things that my life is built around, and I don't know how to transition from that to this life that I dream about. So I'm going to distract myself from the fact that I don't feel good about my life. And I'm going to do that through TV, food, alcohol, etc. Well, this reset... I was on I participated in a call yesterday with several of my favorite thought leaders, and they're referring to it as Reset 2020. And I really like that term. I find that term really much more uplifting. And so this reset is an opportunity, and it's also a challenge. because those activities or experiences or conditions or circumstances that we used to distract ourselves before are not working. And they're not working anywhere near as well as they did before. And I started to observe that in my own situation within 10 days to 2 weeks, that the activities that I would look forward to, for example, on the weekend, they just didn't hold the same sense of relief or sense of distraction that they did before. And so, so when we can't distract ourselves, when we cannot distract ourselves, we have to deal with ourselves. And those emotions, when they first come up, can be really uncomfortable. Really uncomfortable. And in the before Reset 2020 started, we would just turn to our wine, or we would go online shopping, or we would eat sugar, or we would watch television or whatever. And it's almost as though all of those things are still there, but they don't work like they used to. Kind of like a drug addict who has to just keep taking bigger and bigger hits of whatever their drug of choice is in order to get the same high that they got when they first started, right? Eventually the body becomes accustomed and the efficacy of those smaller doses decreases. And so they have to keep taking more and more and more. Well, we're at a point right now where we can't take more and more and more. We're, you know, many of us are restricted to our homes. You know, some of us are in hospital. Some of us are in intensive care. Some of us have relatives and family who are in those situations. It's like there's nowhere to go. There's nowhere to turn to feel better. And that's really what we want. That is real. Everything that we believe we want is because we believe we will feel better when we have it. I learned that phrase probably 15 years ago. And I remember the day that it kind of got my attention. I was commuting into the city and I was listening to a CD. That was back before the days of Audible. And I had a CD in, and I had probably listened to that CD, I don't know, 20 times, 30 times. And I heard that expression, everything we think we want is because we believe we'll feel better when we have it. It was almost like, I almost pulled over, like, hold the phone. Have I ever heard that before? And it started to sink in that, yeah, that's true. Everything I have ever identified that I want is because I think I'm going to feel better if I have it. And sometimes that's been true and sometimes it hasn't been true. But we're really being faced with that right now. Everything you think you want is because you believe you'll feel better when you have it. And this is where that article that I put into the podcast description comes in. There's a link to an article, and it's called Caring. I'll pull it up right now. Prepare for the ultimate gaslighting. So if you haven't heard of the term gaslighting, it comes from a movie from back in the mid part of the 20th century, starring a movie star called Charles Boyer. And I think that the female lead was Ingrid Bergman. And gaslighting is a tactic that folks who have less than perfect credibility will use to shield their deeds, their dirty deeds, from a loved one by convincing the loved one that they're crazy, that all these things that they, that their loved one has been experiencing or knows to be true, that they're not true and that they're crazy. And in the movie Gaslight, Charles Boyer convinces his wife, I believe she was his wife, Ingrid Bergman, that he's not cheating on her, that she's losing her mind, that all of these things that she thinks are happening are not happening. And she slowly goes insane. Many of us have worked with people like who do this. We've been married to people who do this. We have been in some kind of relationship with people who do this. But gaslighting is a very powerful and usually very effective tool, tactic to get you off the truth of something. That's what gaslighting really is supposed to do, is to get you off of the truth of something. And so in this article about being, you know, prepare to be gaslit, the author talks about how we're getting to a stage where many of us are getting to a stage where we're extremely uncomfortable with this sense that there's nowhere to go. And there's, I don't like how I feel. And the tools I was using to buffer that before, to dumb that down or to numb out or whatever, they're not working anymore. And I just want to feel better. And there's nowhere to go and I don't know what to do. And when you get to that stage, you are literally willing to do just about anything just to feel better. And so in this article, the author talks about, we're going to start seeing advertisements for the latest and greatest of, you know, this phone or that pair of sneakers or, you know, this particular item that's on sale or what have you. The advertisers know, they understand, because this is their job. Marketing is their job, getting our attention and convincing us that what they have, if we have it, we will feel better when we have it. You know, we will feel better. We will look more successful. We will look cool. We will appear to be, you know, something greater than we really are, if you will. And what that does when we're gaslit like that, when we allow our attention to be hijacked in that way, the truth of it is, those advertisers are not coming to you and forcing you to take advantage of their offerings. You are willingly giving them your attention. You are willingly handing them your power and saying, I will give this to you if you will give me something that makes me feel better. And which down the road compounds our sense of despair and powerlessness and low self-esteem, because we know that we did this to ourselves. And that, you know, makes us feel worse. So the whole point of this campaign is to help you to go back to sleep. What this Reset 2020 is doing is it is awakening in all of us the truth of who we are and the ways that we block that, the shadows that we cast. There's a great and beautiful quote from Marianne Williamson that I cited in one of the podcasts a couple of weeks back, and I want to go ahead and read it again today, because this quote is the truth of who we are, what we're all waking up to. This quote is what we're all waking up to. And our shadow, which we believe is real, is in direct conflict with this quote. And that creates this sense of tension within us. and it doesn't feel good. And rather than just facing or being the observer, honestly, just being the observer of that shadow arising in us, being the observer of that will actually dissipate the shadow. But many of us don't know that, and we don't want to do it because we're afraid that we're going to feel terrible. So here's the quote. Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Okay, so remember what I said about these advertisers will be telling us that the latest and greatest will make us feel better because it'll make us feel adequate. It'll make us feel competent again. It'll make us feel like we're in control again. It'll make us feel like it'll give us a false sense of security. Okay, so those advertisers, and I'm not bashing on manufacturers. I'm not bashing on products. I'm not saying business, you know, corporate America is bad. I'm not saying that at all. What I am saying is that we use it because we don't want to deal with ourselves. We don't want to deal with our shadow. And so having the latest and greatest iPhone for a week might make you feel good, but after a while, it's like, yeah, this didn't really work for me like I thought it would. So anyway, let's go back to this quote. Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. Oh my gosh. Let me read that again. Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. So if you're afraid of your own light, your shadow is there to say, oh, don't worry about that. I've got the perfect solution for that. Here, have a glass of wine. Here, have a margarita. Here, let's go to this online shopping store and buy things that we can't afford. Here, let's eat this chocolate cake. Our shadow is more than willing to help us with this. And the thing is, the shadow, we create that. It's not, you know, back in the day, shadow, you know, Satan was a figure of shadow, right? And Satan was portrayed as this being that, you know, went about snatching our souls and, sending us to hell and all that good rot. But shadow is very clever. And leads us to believe that something is real and lasting when it isn't. To continue with this quote, she goes on to say, we ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God, and your playing small does not serve the world. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We are all meant to shine as children do. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It's not just in some of us, it's in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. So this time that we're living in right now, the Reset 2020, is giving us the opportunity to liberate ourselves from our fear. To liberate ourselves from our fear. And this is something that most of us in the world, the way it's set up today, just don't have time for. We're too busy. We're too busy working, we're too busy raising children, we're too busy having relationships, we're too busy, you know, we're go, going during the week, and then the weekends are spent you know, running errands and grocery shopping and, you know, trying to see friends. And then we start all over again on Monday and we're too busy. Well, we're not too busy now. And this reset is giving us the opportunity to liberate ourselves from our own fear. So when you meet your shadow, and you know you meet your shadow when you really feel uncomfortable, like really uncomfortable, what's the best way to walk through that? Well, in my personal experience, I've kind of become aware of the tone of it, if you will. There are some days where, you know, I'll wake up and I'll have this sense of something just not comfortable. And I can meditate, and I highly recommend meditation. I resisted meditation for many, many years. And then about 4 years ago, I started meditating every day, and I cannot tell you the difference that it made in my life. But if I get up in the morning and I meditate, I should say when I get up in the morning and I meditate and I set my intentions for the day and I get very clear in my thoughts, clarity of thought. Today, I'm going to look for reasons to feel good. And when I do that, some days it works really well. But there are some days when, you know, you just can't quite, it just, for whatever reason, like I just have to let it be. You know, God bless the Beatles, let it be. Sometimes you just got to let it be what it is. And if you need to cry, or if you need to sleep a lot, or you need to call a friend, or watch something that's going to make you laugh, or something that's going to make you emote. You know, society doesn't honor emotions. And, you know, many of us were taught growing up that crying is a sign of weakness and don't be such a baby. And what are you crying about? You know, one of the things I know many of us heard as children is, what are you crying about? Quit your crying. I'll give you something to cry about. You know, sometimes you just got to feel your feelings. Sometimes you just got to feel them, as crappy as they are. But if you can understand that you don't have to follow the thoughts that lead to the feelings, you know, just feel what you feel and move through it. Playing out is the length of time between the days when I'm having to just let it be is getting wider, which is a good thing. First couple of weeks, not so much, but recently better. The absolutely essential thing here is that we do not go back to the unconscious, that we do not go back to sleep. So many folks are talking about, oh, when are we going to go back to normal? We're not going to go back to normal. There's a new normal coming, and it's a good thing. It's a good thing. What does it look like? I don't know. Some people are able to see future. Some people only intuit it. I tend to be an optimist, and I do believe that it's going to be so much better, because this virus is no respecter of persons, right? You can't get away from it because you're rich. You can't get away from it because you live in a specific place. You can't get away from it because of your race. You can't get away from it because of your gender. It's no respecter of persons. And so I think it levels the playing field. And we're starting to see more and more, and we're going to start seeing it, I think, even more in the coming weeks, all the things that all of the structures, shadows that were in place before that weren't sustainable, and they're going to go away. They're going to come down, and we're going to build structures that are more sustainable and that are more inclusive and that are going to be more about unity than they are about separation. The world that we lived in up until the middle of March was very focused on separation, them versus us. And what we're seeing now in the world since this global pandemic started is how people are coming together to support one another, to help one another. I've been seeing videos and clips and news articles about businesses that are adapting their product focus to manufacture supplies for our hospital personnel. There's a company in Maine. I grew up in Maine, the great state of Maine. I'm very proud to be from the great state of Maine. And there's a company up there that typically builds sails for sailboats. And they've recently converted their manufacturing equipment so that they can make masks and protective gear for hospitals, for hospital workers. There was a beautiful meme that was going around about 10 days ago about one of the most famous male fashion designers. I want to say it was Armani. I can't remember now, but I'm pretty sure it was Armani. The picture was him actually in one of his store windows, and he was putting together the display in the store window, but the story was about how he was converting some of his manufacturing plants to not to make his clothing line anymore, but to manufacture protective gear for hospital workers. Those folks are really on the front line. So, and I'm sure you've seen the videos of, people in Italy who, Italy got hit really, really, really hard by this virus. And people, and they live very differently in Italy than we do here in most parts of the United States. They're just kind of on top of each other because they're building their towns. Their country is so much older than the United States. And, people, there were terrible stories coming out of Italy. But people were coming together out on their balconies, and they were singing together, making music together. Yeah. That kind of thing. It overwhelms me. It's so wonderful to see to see human beings coming together, community, collaboration, cooperation. Competition was the word of the day since the industrial age started. And there's nothing wrong with competition. And I don't think there's anything wrong with capitalism until it becomes obvious that the motto is profits over people. And that's where we're going to start seeing some change, I think, because collaboration, cooperation, and communication are the things that are going to get us not only through Reset 2020, but take us into the new era. Revelations talks about a new heaven and a new earth, and that's what we're creating right now. That's what we're being given the opportunity to create right now. Some days it's challenging to see it as an opportunity, but it is. This is an opportunity. It's an opportunity that most of us would never have dreamed that this was what it was going to look like. You know, I've been talking to people for a couple of decades about what's being called the shift of the ages. That's what we're experiencing right now, is the shift of the ages. And I remember having conversations about what that meant and what it would look like. And nobody saw this. Nobody saw this. We're being given an opportunity to free ourselves from our fear. And how do you do that? You do that by facing, or allow, how do I put this? The way I approach it is in meditation. And sometimes I don't just meditate once a day. If I'm having a particularly strong internal dynamic that's uncomfortable, I'll stop my day and I'll put a mask on, like a sleep mask, because I like to meditate when it's completely dark. And luckily I live somewhere where it's really, really quiet. And I'll put that mask on and, you know, I'll take some deep breaths and get myself centered, and I will just kind of ask to be shown whatever this is. And it will come up out of my consciousness. And my job is not to have any thought about it, not to judge it, not to discern it, not to characterize it, to allow it, just to allow it to be in the observer role, not to claim it. And what I've trained myself to do is when I see, quote, when I see something, a thought, a belief, a pattern, an idea that is not in harmony with the truth of who I am, when it arises in my consciousness, I will say, that is observed. I don't claim it. I don't say I observe it. I just say that is observed. That is observed. That is observed. And very frequently, it will dissipate very quickly. And I'll feel better, which was the whole point. I'll feel better within a short period of time. And then usually the way the pattern's been going the last week or so, I'll have 2 or 3 days where I feel pretty calm. I feel pretty peaceful. And then today was one of those days where, and it was interesting because I woke up this morning at 4:30 in the morning. And typically I would just, you know, get up, go to the bathroom, go back to bed. But I had this thought, get up and meditate now. And so I thought, well, I can take a nap this afternoon, so I can get out of bed now if I want to and meditate. And so I got out of bed and sat in my chair and got myself situated, got myself centered, and just asked for what does my soul want me to know? And a couple of really interesting things came forward, and I observed those, and those were really helpful. And then I asked for something even more profound, so that I would, and this is my egoic self asking for this, so that I would know that I had made a connection with my soul, with my source. And as I was coming out of meditation, you know, you kind of get to a point where you're like, well, maybe it'll come sometime during the day. I'll just be, you know, looking for it later. I received a thought, and the thought was, the only problem you have is the belief that you have a problem. And it was like, oh, you know, my brain kind of went, what? And so when I got back into bed, I got myself nice and comfy, and then I just kept repeating to myself, the only problem I have is the belief that I have a problem. And I don't know, it gave me a sense of relief. It opened something up. You know, there's been this sense of inner space over these last few weeks, and it gave me even a broader sense of inner space. Now, you would think a thought like that would produce a day that was, you know, uplifting and optimistic and hopeful and high vibration, so to speak. But it actually made me more contemplative and somehow going broader and deeper and emotional. There were more emotions that came up, but you know, I have the room and the opportunity to allow them. So the process, you know, the process isn't, it's not like a guy, like there, follow these steps and you'll get through it and all will be well. You know, it's a very personal thing for each and every one of us. Shadow work, seeing your shadow, understanding what it's there to tell you, because it has a message. It's there to tell you something that's going to benefit you and make your life better. But no one ever tells you that, or at least they didn't when we were growing up. But I'm telling you now, and I'm telling you from personal experience, miracles happen. Miracles happen when you ask your shadow, what is it that you're trying to teach me? What is the message that you have for me? An extraordinary time and time, and each and every one of us wanted to be here now. We all signed up to be here now. And we are living something that if you took every human being that's ever lived on this planet from the time that human beings showed up until now, we are living something now that most human beings never have experienced. That's, you know, good, bad, or indifferent. That is a remarkable thing to be able to say. We're alive now because we wanted to be here now. We wanted to be part of this. Our souls knew, and we wanted to be part of it because we wanted to be part of creating a new heaven and a new earth. Let your shadow give you its message. Give yourself the opportunity to allow it to speak to you. Don't go back to sleep. Don't take the path of, here, we'll give you, you know, buy this phone, you know, take these pills, drink this. Don't take that path. Don't go back to sleep, because you're probably not going to get an opportunity like this again in this lifetime. You know, take the opportunity. See it as an opportunity. Well, that's the first step. See it as many people are probably will hear this and be like, this woman is insane. How can she possibly say this is an opportunity? But it is. It is an opportunity for all of us, each and every one of us. We are all God dwelling in us as us, everybody, no matter how we're experiencing this reset, this pandemic. Now, my heart goes out to those who are having a very personal experience with this virus, and members of the families of people who are having a very personal experience with this virus. We can all help each other by doing our inner work, because there's a beautiful saying, a rising tide lifts all boats. So if you're having trouble doing it for you, it feels too selfish. I can't think of myself. I can't give myself the time. Do it because other people will benefit from it as well, because they will. A rising tide lifts all boats. We have a chance here, an opportunity to reconnect more fully and to integrate more fully our true identity. The discomfort that you're feeling is your shadow, and it has a message for you. Are you going to let it give you its message? You'll be glad that you did. Thank you very much for listening to tonight's podcast. And thank you for listening to Universal Energy Radio. Thank you to Anna for hosting, for allowing me to host my show on her radio network here on Blog Talk Radio. You can visit Universal Energy Radio at iTunes and rate the show there. The show will be archived and available to listen to somewhere in the next 4 to 8 hours, and it'll be here forever. You can come back as often as you want to revisit the topic, which is meeting your shadow. Thanks again for listening. I'll be back next Wednesday night, April 22nd at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. And I hope that you will join me then. If you have any questions or comments about tonight's podcast, feel free to leave them in the comment section on the show page. If you feel like you'd like to reach out to me more directly, I hope you'll visit my website, which is logospraxis.com, logospraxis.com. You can send me an email through the contact page. If you're interested in maybe this conversation tonight has impelled you to maybe have a broader conversation, something a little bit more personally directed. And I would love to have a Zoom call or just a telephone call. There's a tab on my website for let's have a consult. You can click on there and contact me that way as well. I hope you'll connect with me on social media. All of my social media platforms are on my website as well. Let's take an opportunity just to form this community and come together, because this is going to be one for the books. We'll be able to talk to our grandchildren and, God willing, great-grandchildren about in the future. Thanks again for being here with me tonight, and I look forward to talking to you next week. Good night.